as we love doing each and every Saturday, and also during the week as well on my show, which you can hear Monday through Fridays from 4 to 7 right here on National Sports Radio. But Doug Segrist out of Birmingham, he's a co-host on The Zone on ABC 3340, contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser, and so much more. Doug, we appreciate you, buddy. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Bob Park. Let's get it started.
Hey, how about the fact that, you know, we're looking at the Florida Gators playing host to Tennessee, just kicked off. In fact, there's four games going on as far as involving SEC teams, Alabama hosting Southern Miss. We mentioned the Gators hosting Tennessee. Here in Nashville, you've got fourth-ranked LSU taking on the Vanderbilt Commodores, and then Ole Miss hosting Cal. But Kyle Trask, here's a guy who has not started a football game since his freshman year in high school. Now, he saw a lot of action in high school because he shared playing duties with Eric King. But, you know, he was redshirted his first year with Florida. Injuries has impacted his last two seasons. When he's healthy, everybody's bragged about him and just, you know, looking forward to seeing him having the opportunity to be on the field. Well, you don't want it to happen the way it did, as he replaced an injured Felipe Franks, who is out for the year now. But he led that Gators comeback there in the fourth quarter in Lexington. But now, different story. He's had all week to think about it as he starts this game against the Vols.
Yeah, and if anybody's prepared for that, he is. But, you know, they say he's a film rat and, you know, a guy who really studies, spends a lot of time with the coaching staff. And if anybody is suited for that, it's him going back to his high school days. However, I think there's something to that. You know, there's one thing coming in cold without time to really you don't process the information. You just react. Now you've got a week. And the fact that he's still the co-starter with the third team who may get some action. So now you're kind of looking over your shoulder a little. I think the ceiling for this offense is actually higher with him at quarterback. But I think he's going to probably take a little step back today and combine that with everything else. I think Tennessee has a shot not only to make this a game but to pull off the upset. And I know going back to weeks one and two, it just seems preposterous. But this is a Florida team that kind of gives you chances to stay in the game.
Well, I guess the stage doesn't seem too big for Kyle Trask at this point. The Gators just scored a touchdown, 12:44 remaining in the first quarter. The extra point was good. A touchdown pass by, Kyle Trask. So far, 2 for 2, 62 yards, one touchdown passing. So here we are, Tennessee already behind the eight ball starting out in this game.
Okay, remember Mission Impossible. This comment will self-destruct in 5 seconds. So let's get rid of all that.
Hey, how about this? It's still early. 12:34 remaining in the first quarter over at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's driving. They've got a 2nd and 10 at LSU's 21-yard line right now. I mean, how huge would it be for Vanderbilt? Maybe LSU's sleepwalking just a little bit starting this game. But how huge would it be for Vanderbilt now driving inside the 10-yard line? With a chance to get the early score.
That's the thing about these games, particularly these earlier games, the longer you can hang in, the longer you can be competitive, you know, then it becomes mental for the other team. And if Vanderbilt can cash in, we kind of saw it with the NFL game Thursday night. The underdog has a chance, but you kind of got to deliver the first blow.
Hey, by the way, Alabama and Southern Miss, that game's already over. 12:08 remaining in the first quarter. Alabama, it didn't take long. Tua Tagovailoa, 3 for 3, 54 yards, and a touchdown pass to one Henry Ruggs. Henry already has 2 catches for 57 yards in the first, in less than 3 minutes into this game.
Yeah, and they're both slants. And, of course, what does he do? He just splits the defense and goes. I still think this is going to, you know, I don't think Alabama will be able to match the line on this game. I think this is a pretty good Southern Miss offense, got a really good quarterback. And, you know, you think of Southern Miss's heritage, going back to Reggie Collier, Brett Favre, Nick Mullins. You know, they always seem to have, every few years, a real gunslinger. And this Abraham kid is coming off almost a 500-yard passing performance last week. I think they'll score some points today.
Well, two things to watch out for from Alabama's perspective, and you go, because you're not really feeling they're going to lose this game, but a couple of things to watch out for I think is important that can dictate the rest of the year. Alabama, I understand these little screen passes and stuff, to their running backs. That's fine. It's similar to running game. But Alabama, just from a standpoint being able to run the clock at times too, they have to be able to establish a running game. And they've been unable to do that so far. I mean, they ranked 7th in the SEC in rushing. But then from a defensive standpoint, I mean, when you think about the opponents, Duke, New Mexico State, South Carolina, not juggernauts, right, as far as offensive teams. How about the fact that through the first, now it's great that Alabama is 3rd in the conference in scoring defense, but overall they're 8th in the conference in total defense through these first three games.
No, and they're starting 4 freshmen on defense today. They've got a 5th one who's going to play almost like a co-starter. You know, I go back to Gene Stallings used to say every time you start a freshman, that's equal to 1 or 2 losses. So right now, Alabama is trying to move to 4-0, which should normally be a 2-10 season. This is troublesome. You talk about the NFL draft every year. I think 22 defensive players the last 2 years. It's just hard to replace. You're talking most cases, it's hard to replace to get back to a bowl game, much less to compete for championships, i.e. a national championship. So this is going to be a tough stretch for Alabama. They've got to get experience quickly. You saw that Shane Lee, one of the freshman middle linebackers, basically covering 40 yards on a wheel route and kept up with the running back. That was pretty impressive. It's just the type of depth concerns that we haven't seen from a Nick Saban defense, and it's legit. I think the running game will come. I think a lot of that's just kind of mixing the parts. It's still missing one starter up front who is off suspension after this week. I think the chemistry will start to come. And I also don't think they've really emphasized it that much. We'll see today if they can move the ball better through the ground.
Visiting with Doug Segrist once again out of Birmingham. How about Vanderbilt? You know, going, you know, if you start since the beginning of 2014, Vanderbilt has the fourth most wins by an SEC East team against the West. You know, LSU has a 1-game losing streak against teams from the SEC West. Vanderbilt, a 2-game winning streak. They're looking to make it 3, and early on, how about Vanderbilt driving down the field? They're up on LSU 7-0, 11:04 remaining in the first quarter. Keyshawn Vaughn, a 5-yard touchdown run. So far, he's carried 4 times for 55 yards in that one touchdown we're talking about. I know it's early, but you know, to pull off upsets like this, it's to put yourself in position. You need to have early success, and all of a sudden the team starts believing. I still look at that record all time. 0-55 versus top 5. It's got to come to an end sometime. Could today be the day?
No. But I think they can certainly make it good for a half. The problem is not going to be scoring. It's going because LSU's defense, kind of like Alabama's, is at least right now, it's not what we're used to. The problem is going to be stopping LSU. This is a very potent offense. They got weapons. They've got an offensive line. And I think that's where Vanderbilt's going to struggle today. But I like your optimism.
Hey, by the way, I'm kind of buying that too with LSU. I think it's too much LSU on that one. But it's still encouraging, all right? By the way, Cal has scored first on a touchdown pass from Chase Garbers. So Cal is up on Ole Miss 7-0. This game being played in Oxford, 9:39 remaining in the first quarter. How about this unusual stat? Ole Miss versus Cal, not only is it the second meeting ever between these two programs, it's only the second meeting ever for Ole Miss against the current members of the Pac-12. They did play Idaho when Idaho was a part of the Pacific Coast Conference before they got kicked out. but it's really rare, and I was really stunned by the fact that Ole Miss, other than Cal, has never played anybody else from the Pac-12.
I had no idea that Idaho was part of that league at one time. So you've stopped me. Yeah, that's unusual because, you know, there used to be bowl matchups. It used to be more common. You know, you would see Alabama play USC even in a bowl game. Georgia's played some Pac-12 teams like Arizona State. So that's kind of a stunner. I think this is going to be kind of a wild game. I think we're starting to see the Ole Miss offense come to life. But this is a Cal team that is sneaky good in the Pac-12.
This afternoon, Auburn takes on Texas A&M in College Station, 2:30 start time on CBS. And you look at this matchup, until last year, it was always favoring the visiting team. And then Kellen Mond decided to change that script last year. A&M looked like they were cruising to a win against the Auburn Tigers down on the plains at Jordan-Hare Stadium. He throws a key interception, sparks a 14-point outburst by the Tigers, winning 28-24. A couple of things that work here for me from an A&M perspective. Kellen Mond, I go back to the awful game he had in week two against Clemson, a game that, you know, he couldn't make simple throws, open wide receivers for touchdowns. And he will probably tell you, based on the fact that last year he was the best quarterback on that field that also had Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence, that did not show up in week two at Clemson. And so, but you got that and that key interception last year in that loss to Auburn. So you've got that at play. For Auburn perspective, you know, it got off to a great start for Auburn under Gus Malzahn as a top 10 team on the road. He won a couple back in 2013. Since then, and certainly why Auburn fans, going along with the success of Alabama during this time frame, probably a reason why you hear so much speculation wanting somebody else other than Gus Malzahn. As a top 10 team on the road, they have lost seven straight games. They're looking to rewrite that today in College Station.
Well, and part of the problem with that stat is when you're going on the road against SEC teams, you're a top 10 team. Oftentimes you're playing at least a top 15 team just because so many teams are ranked. So that, you know, that stat doesn't bode well for Gus, but it's kind of the nature of the SEC right now. And only a couple coaches are really having a lot of success in those games, and one of them's across the state. I did not like Auburn's chances early in the week when we talked about this game because they were missing not one but two left tackles. Derek Brown was probably missing on defense. Now it looks like Prince Tega is back and will be able to play. You've got Brown to help bolster what's been a pretty good defense and has potential just to be great. I like Auburn's chances better. That said, it's still a very tough environment. You've got a freshman quarterback. It's just going to be hard for Auburn to score a lot of points. And, you know, we talked about Kellen Mond against Clemson, but that's the exception. I mean, for the most part, he's been an exceptional quarterback, and I think that's the difference today.
It didn't take long for LSU to answer. Vanderbilt scored. Joe Burrow, a four-yard touchdown toss to Justin Jefferson. And so now we're talking about all tied up, seven apiece, 9:51 remaining in the first quarter. Joe Burrow's been extra special to me. Easily, when you think about top three as far as Heisman Trophy contention, it would be Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, and Joe Burrow, and not necessarily in that order. And I like the fact, too, that LSU spreads things around. I mean, already this year, 19 different players have caught at least one pass. That's the most in a single season in school history. And oh, by the way, we're only in game four for LSU.
Well, that's why you go out and get somebody with experience with the Saints who understands the matchups and taking advantage of those and spreading the wealth. And that's really the, you know, you talk about opening up the offense, and that's got all the attention, but it's that kind of matchup mentality that really has taken this LSU offense to a new level. And they've got the horses to do it. And certainly Joe Burrow, I don't want to say he was a pedestrian quarterback last year because I don't think he really got a whole lot of chance to shine. But the offense was somewhat limited. We knew he was a tough guy. But now we're kind of seeing the potential of what he can do with a new offense mindset. And it's kind of scary if you're a defensive coordinator.
Huge game tonight in Athens. And, you know, it's interesting. You've got some reporters who cover the Georgia Bulldogs, and probably not seasoned reporters when I throw that out there, saying, oh, this is just usual business for Georgia, trying to downplay it. A little bit of arrogance, too. Not a full appreciation of college football history when they talk about, oh, we get top five teams, top 10 teams, whatever, all the time coming in. Stop. Just stop with the nonsense. If you have a full appreciation of college football, I mean, tell me games that you have when you have, you know, 93,000 plus inside, and you're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of that same number of folks outside who couldn't get in to see the game. So stop and stop trying to downplay the importance of Notre Dame coming to town. But with that,
listen, you're right. This is as big as it gets.
Well, I think the biggest part about it too, Doug, is the fact that I'm sure there's some college programs, you know, that we've starting to see more of a push about this, especially looking at the next decade and beyond, as far as some nice home and home series, because I think ADs realize that, hey, if we don't schedule better, first of all, if, you know, looking at how it impacts us with a chance to be a part of the college football playoff, but more importantly, our fans are not going to come. They're going to stay home, not buy tickets. They're going to watch games at home in their living rooms because they don't want to see 55-0 beatdowns on games that you already know how it's going to play out. And so I love the fact that we have this Notre Dame-Georgia match. In fact, you look ahead, Notre Dame is playing Arkansas, Alabama, Texas A&M, looking ahead as far as the next decade, as far as home-and-home series. So major thumbs up with regards to that. But when you think about, in fact, I saw this earlier, when you think about how important it means as far as the college football playoff, number one on the list, Notre Dame at Georgia, followed by, in week 11, LSU at Alabama, in week 9, Wisconsin at Ohio State, week 12, Georgia at Auburn, week 13, Penn State at Ohio State, followed by week 14, Alabama at Auburn.
Well, it's more than a marketing tool. They realize that you can take an opportunity in a big game early on, non-conference game, and it won't hurt you. Well, it's not a lethal blow even if you lose going down the stretch. In fact, if anything, it bolsters not only your perception, your comfort, or your schedule strength, that helps your league out as well, which in turn helps you if you're in position at the end to make a difference. You've got to get away from the New Mexico States. And you, for example, Auburn's got a home and home with Penn State, a home and home with UCLA coming up. It's pretty much most of the league is doing it now. We see it with Ole Miss and Cal. You've got to keep fans engaged. Football games, college football games, are more than the game. They're social events. For big games like this, you'll have 50,000 just tailgating with no hope of getting a ticket. You see that at Alabama, LSU. You see that at a lot of SEC games. But you've got to give them a reason to keep coming because it's so much easier. You see so much more on a high-def, big-screen TV now. And it's a lot more comfortable when you're – you know, on your own couch. So this is long overdue. As much as I like the neutral site games, I think they kind of run their course. Even Alabama's got two more, and then they're moving away from that. But this is as big as it gets for not just Georgia, but anybody. I mean, Notre Dame, over 150 years of college football, is the biggest name. They bring the biggest crowds. The only reason we're not going to see more today is because Georgia shut down the tickets. I mean, it was a concerted effort. Do not sell to Notre Dame fans. And as a result, it's going to be a sea of red. It's going to be at night. It's just going to be a different atmosphere than you usually see in September.
You have to go all the way back to 1966, 53 years ago, right? 67, rather, when the last time you had Georgia hosting a non-conference top 10 opponent. That's when Georgia Tech came in to the building. The other game I wanted to talk about that's under the radar, most important game today under the radar and how it can impact the SEC East, Missouri today. It's the Battle of Columbia. This one is Missouri hosting South Carolina, the Mayor's Cup game. I bring it up because Missouri, if they get a win today against South Carolina, it sets the tone for them the rest of the way. With regards to the SEC East race. And I bring it up because their two opponents from the SEC West are the two worst teams in the SEC West, Arkansas and Ole Miss. When you look at, say, a Georgia program in back-to-back weeks, they have to play Auburn and Texas A&M in the month of November. And then in the Florida Gators case, in the first part and second week of October, they host Auburn and travel to take on LSU. Missouri, if they're going to be a player in the East, they have to set the tone today as they host South Carolina.
No doubt. And I feel bad for Will Muschamp because South Carolina is a better than average team. I mean, we're looking at the 1-2 record. We're looking at first week collapse. You know, I actually thought they played pretty well last week on offense. But the schedule is just it's just overwhelming. So this is a chance for South Carolina to kind of reclaim a little luster. But this is a game Missouri has to win just for that fact that they really have the best shot of anybody in terms of schedule to really give Georgia a run. So I think this is a team that we've said all summer long that we thought they were sneaky good, and I think now they're starting to show it. They've got a little offensive firepower. But the biggest difference to me is you're kind of getting back to the defensive line and a defense that Missouri used to have under Gary Pinkel. Oh, by the way, the Barry Odom had a big role in that as well. So I think this is a pretty good team in Missouri. I think South Carolina will give them trouble. I think it can be a close game, but I would be surprised if Missouri doesn't pull it out.
One game before we let you go, we haven't talked about Kentucky at Mississippi State. Kentucky looking for his third straight, third straight away opener with a win. They haven't done this, by the way. You have to go all the way back to 1940 to 42, the last 2 years as far as true opening games. Remember, they started off the season at home against Toledo, Eastern Michigan, and Florida. They haven't been able to put together three straight wins on the road in their openers since 40 through 1942. They have that chance today against Mississippi State. Here's the other part, too. In the last eight games in this series between each other, only two of the eight have been decided by 8 points or less. Usually the winning team wins in blowout style. The other part, Mississippi State's running back, Colin Hill, not only leading the SEC in rushing, he's one of only three backs at the FBS level that's had 100 yards or more in each of his first three games.
Yeah, this is, again, you mentioned this is kind of a sneaky good game, right? These are two really good teams, and I mean really good. Not top five, top 10 caliber, but legitimate top 25 teams. And I think it comes down to whichever one establishes the running game and takes pressure off the quarterback first. Both have the potential. Both have decent quarterback situations, but not the game breakers that we see in the top 10 teams. I think this is going to be a dogfight.
By the way, before we go to break, Ole Miss just tied Cal just under 6 minutes to go in the first quarter. A touchdown run for Matt Corral, the redshirt freshman quarterback. So they're all tied up with Cal, seven apiece. Remember, Cal entering the top 25 this week. Both of these, Cal, first of all, 3-0, and Ole Miss looking for their third win of the year. They're 2-1 so far this season. Doug, as always, we appreciate you. If you're not doing so already, you need to follow Doug on Twitter, at D. Segrest, co-host in Birmingham on The Zone on ABC 3340, a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug, hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Thank you, Ballpark. Have a great week.